I'm Aaron Schachter in for Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Enthusiastic crowds turned out to greet Pope Francis in eastern Cuba today. This is the third and last full day of the pontiff's visit to the island. He leaves for the U.S. tomorrow. The pope's stay in Cuba hasn't been without controversy. Two dissidents who tried to attend a papal event at Havana's cathedral were detained by authorities, even though they said they'd been invited by the Vatican.
I think the government is very nervous right now. They're very afraid.
That's U.S.-based Cuban artist Tanya Bruguera. She spent much of the past year stranded in Cuba. Officials there confiscated her passport after she tried to stage an open mic performance in Revolution Square in Havana. Now Bruguera is back in the U.S. and a fellow at Yale. She says Cubans are still waiting for freedom of expression.
They just have an artist in prison called El Sexto for wanting to do a performance. They just closed a theater company for wanting to put a UNESCO theater play called The King is Dying. And now we're having a lot of problems with people who are in the movie industry. The independent production of cinema in Cuba is under a lot of pressure, and a lot of surveillance. So you can see those are signs of the fear the government has of art and the power of art.
Tanya, what do you make of all the hoopla and the mood of celebration in Cuba right now with the arrival of the Pope and his meeting with Fidel and Raul Castro? What's your take? Is this indeed a moment of hope for Cubans?
I've been following yesterday the arrival, all the speeches they have done, and it seems actually that Raul, who has been demonstrated that he's a very skillful politician, is using this actually to negotiate the end of the embargo with the United States. So he's using the political leverage of the Pope. So I feel that in a way the Pope is being used by the Cuban government. At the same time, you have good moments. Like, for example, there was this young guy who did an amazing speech yesterday in front of the cathedral where he claimed for change and he claimed for being together while being different. And I think it was beautiful to see how people were cheering those messages. But the messages are not coming from the Pope, are not coming from the Cuban government. They are coming from the people who I think they are tired to be played with.
Well, in a sense, though, I mean, aren't dissidents using the Pope just a little bit for cover? I mean, in old Cuba, wouldn't that man mm-hmm. have been hauled away to jail immediately?
Yeah, I'm going to say something maybe some of my dissident friends will not like, but I think we're living a new era in Cuba now, and it's the era of the people, not the era of the dissidents or the era of the government. It's the era of the normal, everyday Cuban people. And this is what I personally would like to fight for.
So it is then a good thing that there is this thaw in relations between Washington and Havana.
I agree. I think something could change, which is something that for 50 years we were very much indoctrinated and showed every time somebody wanted to change something that it was not going to be possible, that they would not have power to change anything. The problem is that hope that came the 17th of December quickly has been tried to be controlled by the government. I always say that they even want to control enthusiasm, you know. Now, I would like to see the Pope giving the message a little more clearly to people and less politically. Although I still love this Pope. I think this Pope is amazing. Hmm.
In his public speeches, he has really kind of poked the Castros in the eye just a little bit, right?
Yeah, he did a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think they, or Raul, I guess, understands or accepts the notion that change is coming?
I think the Cuban government and Raul and all the people around him knows that the change is coming because they have been the one asking for the change. They might have understood that another power can be achieved, the power of economics. So we are looking now at a moment in which political power is being translated into economical power, meaning that the one who are going to have access to whatever economical progress we have or chances we have are going to be the people next to political power. So I think they have done these amazing theatricals where they try to pretend maybe in 1, 2, 3 years that they're not in power, where they actually, like the Russians, you know, they're actually behind all the economic power and therefore politics. you know, and I think distribution of wealth right now is the main issue that we have to deal with, together with freedom of expression.
Can you go back to make art?
I'm going to go back. That's a decision I made the day I left. But the day I was giving my passport, like as my hand was reaching the passport and the secret police person had the other side of my passport, he was saying, you know that if we want, you will never come back here, right?
Well, but they, as you said, no matter what they say or do, you are going to go back to Cuba. What kind of art do you hope to make when you get back to Cuba?
Well, I think art can be a very useful tool for people who express what they don't know how to express, like how to talk about unformed thoughts. How can they deal with fear? Art actually has a very good space to substitute political speeches, to substitute ideologies, and going to the soul of people and going to the fears and the desires of people. And this is what I wanted to do.
Cuban installation and performance artist Tania Bruguera. She's currently a fellow at Yale. Thank you so much, Tania.
Thank you so very much.